Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll be preaching today from the Ephesians reading, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. I started preparing this sermon, especially with our confirmation in mind here at Bethlehem. We had 12 young people scheduled to be confirmed this weekend. That's not happening now, and so I've adapted this message somewhat, but you'll still hear some of these themes coming through, especially reflecting on the text in connection with our young people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, lead us to faith in our Lord Jesus, love for all the saints, and to know more deeply the riches of our glorious inheritance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was at seminary training to be a pastor, there was one particular assignment that we did which was extremely fruitful. We had to interview a mature Christian person on their spiritual journey and just do a lot of listening. Listening and learning about how God had been at work in this particular person's life. I interviewed a particular lady, and as I heard her journey through life, there was one particular account that really stood out to me, and I still remember to this day. This lady had done a number of interesting things in her life, including serving for a time as a Christian missionary of sorts in the Middle East. It was during that time, which was extremely challenging in various ways, that her mother died back here in Australia. And the lady shared that when her mother died, along with the normal grief and sense of loss that you may expect, there was also a type of grief and loss which was a little more unexpected. She said that the way in which this took shape was a question she asked all of a sudden. She said, when her mother died, who's going to pray for me now? Who will be praying for me now? Her mother was a faithful Christian person. And wherever this lady had been in her life, she knew she could count on the fact that her mother would be holding her up in prayer. And so when she died, this was one of her thoughts. Who's going to pray for me now? It is a powerful thing to know that there is someone praying for you. And in our text today, we hear one of the occasions in the New Testament when the Apostle Paul lets a group of Christian people know that he prays for them as well as what he prays for them. And this is what we want to explore today. Especially how he thanks God for what he has already done in their lives, and how he asks God to still do something more. And if I can just speak briefly, especially to our young people, do you realize that there are people who pray for you? There are people who hold you before the Lord in prayer. There are people who want good things for you, especially in your spiritual life, and they ask God for these regularly. Listen in and hear a bit more about what those things are. Our text begins, "I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers." So the Apostle Paul is writing to a Christian community in and around a place called Ephesus. This is the letter to the Ephesians. And this was one of the Christian communities that the Apostle Paul had had a big role in its beginning and its early growth, if you like. But the Apostle Paul was not one to stay put. That wasn't really his role. He traveled. He moved from place to place. He was more about breaking new ground for the gospel, if you like, rather than the longer term care of particular communities. But as Paul traveled around, apparently he got reports. He heard stories from other people, and he especially heard how the Christian community at Ephesus was doing well. And this was something that warmed his heart. He thanked God for it, and he wanted them to know that he thanked God for them. It reminds me of stories I've heard from pastors from time to time about how they have a similar experience, perhaps, when they hear years and years later of real spiritual fruit happening in places that they have served. I've even heard similar stories from the children or grandchildren of missionaries who've had the opportunity to return to a place that was served by their forebears, and in those cases sometimes it's decades and decades later that they get a glimpse of the spiritual fruit God brought about through this original person's ministry and service. Now, that picture of spiritual fruit perhaps gives us an analogy just to think about this for each and every one of us. Just think of a garden or a fruit tree that you planted somewhere along the way. And later on, when you're not there anymore, you hear or you even see that there is still fruit being born, and it brings joy to your heart. Well, the Apostle Paul is having an experience something like this. He hasn't forgotten them. He thanks God for this regularly. And what is it exactly that he thanks God for? Well, he boils it down to two basic things: faith in the Lord Jesus, love for all the saints. Why this focus? Why these two dimensions? Well, because faith is so fundamental to our Christian life, isn't it? Paul will say in the next chapter that, in fact, it is by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, but a gift of God, so that no one may boast. It is faith in the Lord Jesus, the one who came to reveal God's grace and mercy and love to us. As your Lord Jesus came into this world as one of us, as he went to the cross to die for us, as he rose again from the dead, as we trust in the Lord Jesus, we receive the grace, the forgiveness, the life that he brings through his life, death, and resurrection. And so Paul thanks God for their faith in the Lord Jesus. But he also thanks God for their love for the saints. If faith is the primary way we relate to God, then it is love as the primary way we relate to others. If faith is like the fire in the heart, love is like the heat and light which radiates out. Notice that it isn't that the Apostle Paul heard reports of a whole bunch of individuals who were progressing in their spiritual life, but he hears of a community which was growing together, a community which showed real love for each other. Yes, by grace we are saved through faith, but in that same passage, Apostle Paul will go on to say that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to walk in. He thanks God for their faith in the Lord Jesus, for their love toward all the saints. Again, as I think of our young people, even more specifically as I think of our young people who have been in the confirmation program this year, please know that we thank God for you. You need to know, young people, that it is an encouragement to the life of this congregation simply that you are here, that you are a part of this community, And please know especially that we thank God for your faith in the Lord Jesus and for your love towards the saints. What a joy it is to be a part of your confirmation journey. What it is, young people, to be a part of your journey more generally in life when we see this growth. When we see you growing in faith. When we see you living this out in love towards each other. In love in your families. In love towards others in this congregation. That's number one. The Apostle Paul thanks God for what he has already done. But next he goes on to ask God for what he can still do. On the one hand, there is this beautiful simplicity in boiling down the Christian life to faith in the Lord Jesus and love toward the saints. But there is at the same time an inexhaustible depth to the mysteries and wonders of the Christian life. And so the Apostle Paul asks God also to lead these dear Christian people deeper into those mysteries. It's been said that the Christian faith is like an ocean. It is shallow enough for a toddler to wade into, but it is deep enough that you can never plumb its depths. And so we read him go on in his prayer, "I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints." One of the reasons that I wanted to preach on this text in connection with our scheduled confirmations is that confirmation in the Christian church has traditionally been associated with the gift of the Holy Spirit. So one of our confirmation blessings that we use from the Old Testament as we lay hands on our young people is echoed in our text today. God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ give you his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, sound judgment and strength, knowledge, holiness and reverence for the Lord. Now, it isn't to say that we believe these young people haven't already received the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes to us in our baptism. The Spirit is at work through the Word of God. The Spirit is poured out on the church continually. But we especially pray at the time of confirmation for the renewal of God's Spirit in the life of each young person. And notice what that means. Notice what it is the Apostle Paul asks for the Spirit to do in these Christians at Ephesus. There's a number of things, but today I'll focus on just one of them. He says that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, he's opening up something inside of us, you may know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints. The Apostle Paul's conviction is that as a baptized, believing Christian person, you have something so glorious, so extraordinarily rich, so far beyond your imagination, that one way of describing your Christian life is simply growing to know more and more what you already have as a Christian person. There's an analogy here, perhaps, with natural human development. Those of you who are parents, think of what it is you try to do for your children as they grow. From one perspective, couldn't you say that one of the things you're trying to do is to get them to understand what it is they already have? That as people who live in a free country, in a relatively safe community, as people who have a roof over their heads and food on their tables and clothes on their back and a decent education, you parents know that throughout history and even around the world today, this is no small thing. That we have so much. And it breaks your heart as a parent when, as children grow, they sometimes don't realize what they have and can even risk wasting it. Well, the Apostle Paul is telling us that the Christian life is like this, but infinitely more so. Because in Christ Jesus, you have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You have a God who chose you in love before the foundation of the world. You have the adoption as children of God. You have redemption through the blood of Christ and the forgiveness of sins. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit with you and in you. You have the promise of a sure and certain hope for the future. Life with God forever in His presence. And you have the power of God at work in your life. The power of God which raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand. To put it another way, you have a glorious inheritance. Imagine a person who was poor in this life. They struggled by from day to day, but then they received word that from a long-lost relative they had received a fortune of hundreds of millions of dollars, an inheritance. It was all theirs. It was just waiting for them to access it. But because it all seemed too good to be true, the inheritance sat there. And the person never cashed it in. Instead, they continued to struggle through life as if they were poor, all the while having a glorious inheritance that by rights belonged to them. This is the situation of the Christian person who has been baptized, who has been raised in the life of the church, but who says, "I think I'll leave that behind. That's not for me." This is a tragedy, dear friends. Let it not happen. And dear young people, you have learnt so much in your journey already. You have grown in your faith and love. You have begun to explore the riches of your glorious inheritance in Christ. But that is only the tip of the iceberg. It's only the beginning. Our prayer for you is that the Holy Spirit would enlighten the eyes of your heart so that you may know the riches of the glorious inheritance that is yours. Here's a similar way that the Apostle Paul puts it in a chapter later, another prayer. He says, "I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." A few years ago, I was visiting some elderly members in this congregation. And they were asking me about our young people in the confirmation class of that year. We had their names printed in the bulletin, I think, like we often do. And so they were asking, "Who's this person? And where does that young lady fit in? And is there anything that we should know about that particular lad?" I was intrigued. I was encouraged that these older folk in the congregation were so interested in our young people. And then I realized a part of what was going on a bit more specifically. What were they really looking for? They were looking for intel. They were looking for intel for their prayers. These are faithful elderly Christian people who were committed to praying for these young people. Perhaps some of you are even watching this sermon right now. They hadn't even met some of these young people. They may never have met some of these young people, but they thanked God for their faith in the Lord Jesus. They thanked God for their love for the saints. They asked God that the Spirit would lead them ever deeper into the wonderful mysteries of life in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Friends, if you've never known this gracious God, or if you have been away from Him for a long time, this is also my prayer for you today. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.